Good to see you all again. Thank you so much for having me here. It's nice to be back. I've been here many times, been here since the church began. Actually, I've been coming out to East Moriches since 1968, so it's been a long time. Maybe longer than many of you, maybe not as long as some of you, but the area is definitely near and very dear to my heart, so I always enjoy being back and seeing you folks. So thanks for having me here, and I appreciate the ministries that are going on with the church. A lot of great things, the outreach to the community, the biblical counseling, the impact that you guys are making. That's what we're here for. And I praise the Lord to see how God is working in and through each one of you here. So keep up the good work. So some of you might still be cheated a little bit. He gave you the page number, because otherwise, good luck finding the book of Jonah. It's almost impossible. I would have said somewhere between Psalms and Matthew, and then good luck finding it. It's about, or if you got a phone, you find it in 5 seconds, but it's about that big, and it goes quick. So you'll skip over it quickly. I'm not going to waste time going through the whole book. I'm just going to quickly give you guys a recap. And we're going to go to Jonah chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2 is where we're going to spend most of our time today. But I want to give you a brief recap of and background. So God tells Jonah is a prophet of God. And God tells Jonah, I want you to go and I want you to preach to the Ninevites, nasty people, barbaric people, people who hated Israel and who Israel hated. And he says, I want you to preach to them the message of repentance to them. And Jonah hears what God has to say, and he says, I'd rather not. I'm not going to go. Instead, I'm going to go to a place called Tarshish. Now, for those of you who don't know Nineveh and Tarshish, imagine if I said to you, I want you to head out to Montauk, and you said, I'm going to go to Los Angeles. That's about the equivalent. So Nineveh's here, Tarshish is way over here. So he went in the exact opposite direction. God says, okay, you think you're a smart guy. And so he got on a ship to go to Tarshish, because in that days that's how they traveled. He's on the ship. God says, okay, you're a smart guy. You're going to get away from me. And so God caused a great storm. It actually, in the Bible, the word for it says he actually hurled a great wind at the ship. And so this huge storm came up. And the ship's about to break up. The sailors, who are experienced seamen, are terrified. They're fearing for their lives. They're thinking, okay, that's it. I'm done. I'm not going to be able to make it here. And they try to remedy the situation. They start throwing all the cargo overboard to lighten the ship so it won't sink. They start to try to row. It's not working. Nothing's working. These are heathen sailors, so they started to pray. Now, these guys never prayed before. They started to pray. And they find out in a minute that this guy Jonah, he's fleeing from God's presence, right? And Jonah knows the solution to the problem, because he knows he's running away from God. He says, you know what? Just toss me overboard. Everything's going to be okay. And the guy says, no, we're not going to throw you overboard. So they keep trying. They say, we're going to figure it out. We're going to work through it. And things just gets worse and worse. So finally, they toss Jonah overboard. Okay, and Jonah must figure out, I'm done now. I'll drown, and it'll be all over. But really, things go from bad to worse for Jonah. So as he's in the water, God prepares, the Bible says, he's already prepared this, a great fish. Now, it wasn't a whale. In the Hebrew, that word it's not used. There's a Hebrew word for whale. That word is not used there. So it's some kind of fish. I don't know what kind of fish, but it's a huge fish. It swallows up Jonah. And Jonah's in the whale's stomach, and he's got to be thinking, man, I'm done, right? I'm done here. And so he prays, and I'd say he partially repents. He didn't fully repent, but I guess it was good enough for God. He partially repents, and God hears, and he speaks to the fish, and then the fish vomits Jonah out onto dry land. Now imagine, that must be nice. That was a nice sight, right? Here's a guy who'd been in the ocean, and then he'd been in a whale's stomach. Excuse me, I say whale. A fish's stomach, and now he's kind of rolling around in the sand. So you can imagine that was probably a pretty sight. And then we get to the verses that I want to take a look at here. And it says here, it says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, this is the key phrase right here, the second time. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. Okay, so he came to the Lord the second time. It was my junior year in high school, so I was 16 years old. And like a lot of high school age kids, I loved basketball, sports, but basketball particularly. Love basketball. All I could think about was playing basketball. And I spent a lot of time practicing. We were in my junior year in high school, we had a pretty good basketball team. I lived in Nassau County, and we were a pretty good team. And we were playing in the county playoffs against our crosstown rivals. And my goal in life at that point, as a 16-year-old, was to play basketball in college. It's all I thought about. It's all I cared about. It was the biggest deal. My dad played basketball in college, and I wanted to do that. And so that was a real goal that I had. And I had a pretty good season my junior year. I was doing well. Things were going along really nicely, progressing well. And so we're playing this game. It's against our crosstown rivals. We had played them two times during the year, and we had won one. They had won one. And so this was kind of the grudge match. And so we're playing them. The game's going back and forth. And the winner of this game is probably going to have a good chance to win the county championship, which is, again, most of you are thinking, who cares? It's high school basketball. You're a kid. To a kid, that's a big deal. So imagine a big deal situation in your life. And so the game's going back and forth. And as it gets to the fourth quarter of the game, the other team started pulling away. And it became pretty apparent that we were not going to win the game. And so with like 2 or 3 minutes left in the game, my coach, I had played most of the game, my coach took me out of the game, which is totally normal. You know, you wanted to give other guys an opportunity to play. There were a lot of people there, family, friends there watching the game. And I almost shudder to share with you what happened next. As I walked off the court, 16-year-old kid, something happened to me. Maybe it was the emotion of the situation. Maybe it was my immaturity. Maybe it was, I can't tell you, but it was bad. And I snapped. I snapped right there in front of probably 1,000 people, my parents, my friends, and right in front of my coach, I started screaming at my coach. And I didn't just scream, I started cursing at him. Yelling loud, not like, I was screaming so that everybody in the gym could hear it. And my coach was a big man. He was like 6'6". He probably weighed 250 plus pounds. He should have probably punched me in the head. That would have been okay, and that would have been what I deserved. But he showed a lot of restraint. I remember he physically grabbed me, and I know I'm not supposed to move away from the camera, so I won't move, but he put me down by the end of the bench, and he sat me down, and he said, sit down, and he looked at me. And as I was sitting there at that end of that bench, and I started to calm down a little bit, and then as I went into the locker room after the game, and then as I got on the bus and we drove back home, I started to realize that, wow, I made a huge mistake. I started to think about the magnitude of what I had done. Now remember, basketball was everything to me. It's really all I thought about, all I cared about. It meant everything to me. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness, I'm going to get kicked off the team. And I would deserve to be kicked off the team after what I did. I thought, I'm never going to be able to play next year, my senior year. I'm not going to be able to play basketball next year. There's no chance after what I've done. I'm never going to have a chance to play in college. That was my dream. It's never going to be realized. In a kid's mind, I'm thinking, man, my life is over. It's done. Now, again, we all look at it and say, oh, come on, you were a kid. But put yourself in that situation and you can understand it. And not only that, I made a fool out of myself. I mean, I look like a real fool. And not only that, I made a fool out of my parents. You could ask my dad how he felt. He's sitting right over there. Maybe he probably forgot about it, but I made a fool. Maybe he didn't feel it. He's still mad at me right after all these years. You know what I thought? I thought, that's it. It's over. I'm done. My dreams are gone. My hopes are gone. My aspirations, they're gone. All the effort I put in is gone. It's over. And I kind of deserved it, but it still didn't help. It still hurt. It was still painful. And you know what I really needed at that chance, that moment? I needed a second chance from my coach. I'd messed up. I had done the wrong thing. But I needed a second chance. I didn't deserve one, but I needed one. And so that's where I found myself. Have you ever get to the point where you say something like this? I think I've gone too far this time in some aspect of my life. I think I've gone too far. You think you ever get to the point where you say, yeah, no matter what I do, I'm not going to be able to walk this one back. I went there. I did that. How do I walk it back and make it right? I can't. I've gone too far. You know, maybe I'm just better off kind of giving up. Just throw in the towel, give up. And that's it. It's all over. It's no use. It was a long time ago. I don't know, boy, 30-something years ago, almost 40 years ago. But I remember as I sat on that bus, as I sat in that locker room, as I thought about it in the days preceding, I remember thinking those exact same things. I really, really needed a second chance. That was it. That was the bottom line. And you know what else I know? I bet you Jonah was saying the exact same thing as he sat in that fish's stomach. He says a couple things in chapter 2, if you want to look at it in your Bible. I got tight quarters here, so I'll try to move around my little water. I like these little water holders you guys have. Those are good, the little up and downs, but they're helpful. But I have my water here. But he says in verse 3, Jonah's saying this. He's sitting inside the whale's stomach, and he said, floods have compassed about me. Floods are surrounding me. Yeah, I'm in physical danger. You know, I'm facing destruction here. In verse 4, he says, I've been cast out of God's sight. He's been forsaken by God. He's in spiritual danger. He's in trouble spiritually. In verse 6, it says, the earth with her bars were about me forever. That word forever is a tough word. It's finality. When you have hope in life, things are okay. But when you start to lose hope and things are final and it's done and you feel like, hey, again, I can't walk it back, I can't make it right, that's tough. If you have hope, we can go forward. If you lose hope, it's really tough. And so he's in this situation and he's thinking, I bet she's thinking, I need a second chance. I got no chance. He had a worse chance than I did, right? I just had to hope my coach was going to be nice. He's sitting in a whale's stomach in the middle of the ocean somewhere. I said a whale, a fish. I apologize. But here comes the turning point. It's in verse 7. He says, I remembered the Lord. He said, I remembered the Lord. And now I want to look at our verse one more time. He says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. He had messed up. He had gone too far. He was presumably doomed. He was finished. But you know what, friends? God is very gracious to us. God is very merciful to us. You know, Pastor said it before. He's very patient with us. He's very, very forgiving. We've all gone too far. We've all gotten situations where we said, I got to walk this one back, but I can't. We've all got to that place where you said, it's over. It's final. And I want to apply the thought of getting a second chance to three aspects of Jonah's life from the story. And then I want to look at how that might apply to us today. And maybe we could all walk away with some benefits from the scripture passage here as we go. So the first one is this. I think Jonah got a second chance from his sin. Put this over here. Jonah got a second chance from his sin. It says in chapter 1 and in verse 3, it says, but Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship to Tarshish, so he paid his fare, and he went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. As I shared with you a moment ago, God told him, hey, go to Nineveh. Do a job for me and get it done, right? And instead, he headed in the exact opposite direction, totally disobeying God. God told him to do one thing. He said, willfully said, I'm going to do something else. But even worse than that, okay, it's bad enough when God tells us to do something and we just don't do it. We disobey. We do that all the time. You know what we do? God has a lot of things he wants us to do or not do, and we don't do that. We're people, and so we make mistakes. But I think it's worse when you look at the verse there. He's also fleeing from God's presence. It says two times that Jonah fleed from God's presence, from God's fellowship, from God's communion, from that relationship with God. So he disobeyed God, what God asked him to do, but he also fleed from God's fellowship. And if you want to go a little bit further, Jonah had a strong dislike for the people who God loved. God told him, hey, I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to go to preach to these people because I want them to repent. And Jonah had a prejudice against these people. He did. He hated them. Most of Israel hated the Ninevites. And that's what made this task that God gave him so difficult. So he had a hatred for the people God loved. So he was fleeing from God, disobeying God. He was trying to escape God's presence. He hated who God loved. And the last thing is it's almost as if, so he's on the ship and he knows the remedy. He knows what the problem is. He knows why this great storm is coming, but he won't repent. It's like he's shaking his fist at God. No, I want you to kill me rather than for me to do what you told me to do. So he's fleeing from God and his command and his fellowship. He hates the people God loves and wants to forgive. In fact, and maybe Pastor Matt will correct me after the service is over, I can't think of any other time in Scripture where a prophet of God did not do what God told them to do. It's the only time in the Bible I could find that. Now, maybe I'm off and I didn't do my research properly, but I think I'm pretty safe with that claim. So I would say there's probably some pretty serious sin on Jonah's part. I don't know if you guys would agree with me, but there are some pretty grievous things that he did wrong, right? And so I'll ask you, I'll apply what we just found out about Jonah, and I'll ask me, and I'll ask you. It's interesting, I'll take a quick aside. When Pastor Matt asked me to preach this sermon, this was probably 4 months ago, he asked me to preach here. He asked me to preach on a specific subject that's very different from what I'm talking about. And the reason is because as I started to pray, God put this on my heart immediately. He put this sermon on my heart to preach this, and I couldn't get away from it. I said, no, I gotta preach what Pastor Matt asked me to preach. So I'm praying, God, show me what you want me to talk about this particular subject. And I couldn't get this one away from me. And it's interesting because it applies to me personally, and I'm hoping it applies to you. So let's make some applications. So here's Jonah. He's got some pretty serious sin in his life. He's done some pretty bad things. He's offended the God of heaven personally, right? Personally. And so is it possible that you think maybe that there's some sin in your life that you've committed that, hey, God can't forgive me for that? I know in the Bible it says, but it's you don't know what I did. I can't get clean from it, right? I know 1 John 1:9. I know if we confess, he'll cleanse. I can't forgive me. I can't get clean, right? You ever have a sin in your life where you figured, you know what? I went too far with that one. When I started cursing at my coach, I went too far as a 16-year-old, right? I can't get past that. I can't get that sin. I can't be forgiven for that. Or maybe there's something you can't get victory over. You want to do it. You want forgiveness. But there's a sin in your life that dominates you. It dominates every aspect of who you are. And it's offensive to God, but you can't get victory over it. You know, maybe you're afraid that, hey, there's some sin that it just means the end for a part of your life. Or maybe you're a Jonah and you've been running away from a loving God who's been reaching out to you, who wants to save you, who died on the cross for your sins, who gave himself for you, and he's been chasing you, and he's been calling you, and he's been asking for you, and you just keep running, you keep pushing him away. No, not now, not today, next week, next month, next year. And God finally is bringing that realization into your heart. Look at Jonah. What did God say to him, right? He'd done all those things. And it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, what? The second time. God wasn't done with him. God wasn't done with him. So God is the God of the second chances. From the first thing is from our sin. When we commit sin, God will give us a second chance. He will, if we repent and get it right. And you might say, you know, Chris, that's great. Thanks so much. I appreciate you sharing that with me. That's awesome. God forgave me, but I committed these sins and I got some really bad consequences. Man, I'm paying the penalty for all the things that I did, and it's painful. It hurts. I can't get a second chance from those things. I can't. And you know what? I can't lie to you and tell you that that there aren't consequences from our sin. That would be a lie. But let's look here. I think Jonah. So number one, God gave him a second chance from his sin. But number two, God gave him a second chance from destruction. From destruction. In chapter one. In verse 17, and you guys all know this. This is probably everybody knows this. It says here, chapter 1 in verse 17, and it said, now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. So Jonah's running from God's will. He's running from God's commandments. And the consequences come. He's in a fierce storm. Ship's about to break up and go down. Jonah is thrown overboard. He figures, okay, now it's over. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to drown. Everything's going to be fine. And things get worse. Fish swallows him up. He's in the fish's belly. Somehow he's in that fish's stomach and he's not consumed. So he's got a consciousness of it. He can breathe. He knows what's going on. So he's in there and he's got a consciousness of it. And depression, as you would imagine, sets in for this man. In chapter 2, as I read already, it says, he says to God, I've been cast out of your sight. He says, the water is compassed about me. The earth with its bars are about me forever. Again, that finality. So now, not only is he in physical danger, but he's depressed, as we all would be. Sometimes sin, when we sin and the consequences come into our lives, depression sets in, right? We realize what we've done. And bottom line, he's figuring what? I'm done. I'm destroyed. It's all over for me. I don't got a chance. I messed up, and that's all it is. I remember when I sat in that locker room that day, and I had a few moments to think about it. I'm thinking, I'm done. I can't fix this. It's a empty feeling. It's a kind of a pit in the stomach kind of feeling. You may be going through it now. You may have gone through it recently. You know what? If you haven't, you'll probably go through it at some point, because we all do. But you have that feeling like, I'm done. I'm destroyed. I can't fix this. You know, maybe it's you feel destroyed physically. Something about your body. You feel destroyed physically. Maybe it's emotionally. You have that emotional destruction. Just maybe it was a bad relationship or something. Maybe it was relationally. Maybe your family's falling apart, or there's some part of your life that's falling apart with relationships. Or maybe it's financially. You know, maybe you lost a job or a business and you feel like, how am I going to fix this? How am I going to take care of it? How am I going to get around this thing? Right? It's hopeless in every way. I have destroyed relationships. I'm physically broken. I'm financially in ruin. My reputation is destroyed. Whatever it is, it's personal for each one of us. We each have these things. Everyone's different. But you know what? Everyone's is different, but none of them are any less painful. That pain that's inside of you when you've done that, that remorse, that regret, that hurt, it hurts. It hurts in the core of who you are. And so Jonah is right there. Jonah is right there at that moment. I'm sure he was looking back and saying, oh, I can't believe what I did. I can't believe it. And what did God do? It said, the Lord spoke unto the fish. And what did the fish do? It vomited Jonah out onto to dry land. God said, okay, you're not done. You look like you were destroyed. You look like you had ruined everything. You look like it was all over. All right? You might think that that everything can't be fixed in your life. You might think that it's hopeless. You might think that there's no more chance for me. But God said, uh-uh. Because why? I'll keep coming back to it. God is merciful. God is gracious. God is forgiving. He's the God of the second chance. And so we get second chances from our sin when we sin. We get second chances. Wow, God's really good. Think about it. We sin, we mess up, and God forgives us. And then you got all this mess that's left up behind, right? All this mess that's in your life. And God says, you know what? I'm going to forgive you for that also. I'm going to give you a second chance in that area of your life also. And then the third thing, and then we'll be done in a minute or two, a couple minutes. And I like this one because I appreciate what you guys were talking about in the beginning. It seems like to me that you guys are a group of people that want to be used by the Lord. Right? You want to be reaching out to the community. You want to be counseling people. You want to be working in people's lives, see people's hearts change. You have a heart for others, and that's good. That's what Jesus was all about, others. He wanted to serve others. And so God gives a second chance from sin. He gives a second chance from destruction. You know what else he gave Jonah a second chance? To be useful. At this point, Jonah probably should have been put up on the shelf. God said, I'm going to pack you away. We're going to retire you, and you go rest in, I don't know, where the suburbs of Israel are. You go to the beach. There's nice beaches along the Mediterranean. Go to the beach and you relax. But what did he say? In Jonah chapter 3 and verse 2, it said he came to the Lord. The Lord came to Jonah a second time. And what did he tell him? Again, he didn't say go home. He didn't say thanks very much. He said this. He said, He says, arise, go to Nineveh, and preach the message that I tell you. I'm not quite done yet, Pastor Matt. Sorry, I gave him a false alarm. I said it was going to be, it might be like 5 more minutes. I don't see a clock, so I don't know where I got to go here. It's like the casinos in Las Vegas. Sometimes I have to go to Las Vegas for work, and you walk through the casino, there's no clocks in the casinos. So you never have any idea what time. I think they do that on purpose, but sorry, I got way off tangent there. I'm not condoning casinos. I'm just saying they're there. But okay, so I'll let Pastor Matt talk about that. So he says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it. I like that word, arise. Hey, you're down on the ground. You've messed up. You must feel terrible, right? You rebelled against me. You turned your back against me, but I'm going to give you a second chance. And he gives them what I would say is a straightforward, but very, very difficult message. Very straightforward, very simple. The message was this: yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. You know what? It's actually 5 words in the original language. So he spoke. He got into the city and he spoke 5 words. He didn't have a special meeting. He didn't have a fancy service. He didn't hand out flyers and organize people. He just walked into the city. I guess he found a good spot and he cried out. The Bible says he cried. I guess he was kind of desperate at this point, right? He had realized what he had done. He said, you know what? Probably some self-preservation and some, the Holy Spirit was working through him. He cried. And what happened? The people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast. Pretty cool. One of the, probably, arguably one of the greatest revivals in biblical history happened. Some people say that there's possibly 1 million people got saved. So there's a good chance you'll meet a Ninevite one day in heaven who Jonah preached to. Right? And the message, it impacted everyone. It says in verse 5, chapter 3, it said it impacted from the greatest to the least. It was across all classes, across all races within the community. Across everybody was impacted by his message. And the repentance was genuine. God says in verse 10, God saw their works and he forgave them. So it was genuine. Destruction of the city was averted. Think about being useful now for a minute. Here's a guy that was disobedient, that was selfish, that was unloving, that hated the people that God asked him to go to. Could you think of anybody more disqualified to do the job? And yet God worked a miracle through him, through a miracle through him. And here's the point I want you guys to take away from this. To serve God and to be useful to God, you don't need to do great things, right? What did he do? He cried. Anybody here can cry. Everybody here can talk, right? You don't have to be able to do great things. He just went out and his heart was broken and he cried, right? You don't need to have any amazing talents. You know what he did? He said 5 words. 5 words. Why? Because God does the work. It's not us. It's God who does the work. So if you're saying, I can't be useful, what am I going to do? Cry. I can't be useful. I have no talent. Can you speak? Can you handle a piece of literature? Can you pray? 5 words is what he said. You don't need to have a huge platform. You say, you know, I don't have a platform. I'm not like Pastor Matt. I don't get a chance to preach to people online and here. I don't have a platform. What did he do? He walked into the city. No one invited him. He just walked there and showed up. Just walked and showed up. You need to be willing. You need to have the right heart. You need to ask God for an opportunity. And then you need to trust God to do the work. And God will make you useful. There's a guy by the name of Roy. He lives down in South Carolina. And I came in contact with Roy through my sons. My 3 sons are in college down in South Carolina. And Roy, interesting story, lived in Florida. He grew up in a Christian home, good, godly parents. So he was raised in a very good, safe, loving environment. Unfortunately, he started experimenting with drugs at the age of 9 years old with, marijuana and things like that. And by the age of 17, he was a pretty serious user, heroin, crack, all that bad stuff. By his early 20s, he was a drug addict, full-fledged drug addict. He was a dealer. He was in and out of prison. And his best friend, about a year later, was arrested for murder. So if you want to put the list of bad things in a line, he's probably got most of them checked off. He's got the boxes checked off for all the things. He's dealing. He's an addict. He's using. He's been in jail. He was probably close to the guy who committed murder. And he said, in his story, and this is a true story, by the way, a couple of days later, he OD'd on cocaine. And as he was going through this experience, he was throwing up, and he said, my skin was crawling with bugs all over my skin. He said it was an uncontrollable feeling that his skin was crawling. And he says, as I got up, this was the man's description, I looked in the mirror, and I saw the devil looking back at me. Now, again, I don't know exactly what happened. I'm not going to get involved with that. Demons are real, but I don't know what happened. But the guy's obviously pretty messed up. And so he went back to his parents' home, again, good Christian people. And his mom had been praying for them, and he was going to rob his parents. And he broke into the house, and he was in the bathroom for some reason. And I guess something happened, and he said, God, if you're real, show me. Show me you're real. Why he said that in that state he did, I'll tell you why in a minute. But the reason why, I'll tell you now, I'll sneak it in, is his mom had been praying for him. His mom had been praying, never stopped praying for him. So if you're a mom here or a dad, and you got a kid that's wayward, don't stop praying for him. Okay, don't stop praying for him. And he said, show me if you're real. And he said, at that very moment, the desire for drugs disappeared. At that very moment, that issues he had with the skin crawling and the visions, gone. And a long story short, because I don't want to belabor it, today he's a pastor at my son's church, right? He's got a really nice wife he ministers with at the church. He's got some nice kids. He's got a great ministry, right? Second chance to be useful, folks. God can use pretty much anybody, right? He uses us. We're nothing special. So don't ever get discouraged about this. So a second chance from sin, a second chance from destruction, and a second chance from usefulness. Just closing, my coach did end up forgiving me from the story. He ended up forgiving me, and I got a second chance. And he did let me play my senior year in high school. And I did pretty well. And I did get a chance to play college basketball. And it was great. I loved it. It was amazing. I had a great experience. And actually, I met my wife there, right, in college. So the second best thing in my whole life ever happened there. Don't ever forget, you know, folks, things are difficult in life. Things can get hard. You can get discouraged very easily. God's the God of second chances in so many different areas of our lives. So keep that in mind. Pastor?
Let's just stand as we prepare to go back into worship. Can we just pray as we prepare to sing to the Lord? God, we thank you. God, you are the gracious and merciful God. God, we thank you that all of us who trust in you are made into new creations. That the old is past and the new is come. But God, even when we stumble and fall, God, we thank you that your grace catches us. We thank you that your mercies are new every morning. And Lord, that when we mess it all up, Lord, you are the God who gives us a new start, a fresh beginning. So Holy Spirit, come. Remind every person in the room, Lord, who's living and walking in shame, who's feeling the weight of their the wrongs that they've done, Lord. Lord, the individuals who believe, Lord, that they could never be forgiven for what they've done. Lord, that they could never be used by you. That they could never even be loved by you. Holy Spirit, meet them right now in their seat. Lord, if they're watching online, meet them in the coffee shop. Meet them in their living room, Lord. And Lord, let them receive the word that you've spoken this morning through Chris. Lord, that no matter how far we stray, Lord, no matter how far we run, even in disobedience, Lord, that we can come back, Lord, knowing our shame, knowing our sin, knowing our guilt. And Lord, we can be forgiven. Lord, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We love you today. And we thank you that God, even though, Lord, we are not enough, we are never enough. Even though we'll never get it all right. That God, you are the God who is more than enough. Who is able and willing to restore us. And heal us and deliver us and forgive us and free us from sin and shame. So God, bring the wayward home today. God, bring the one who's been running from you, who's been hiding in shame, Lord, bring them back to you. And use us, Lord, as vessels, jars of clay, fragile as we are. And let us carry, Lord, you, the treasure. Thank you, Lord. Go back.
Can't go back to the beginning. Can't control what tomorrow will bring. But I know here in the middle is the place where you to be.
I want church, you know,
I'm not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again? 'Cause all I want is all you are.
Yeah.
just as we wrap up our time together, excuse me, I hope the Lord has met you in a unique way today in our gathering. We're so glad that you are here today. And can we just thank Chris again for opening the word up for us today? Thank you, Chris. Well, it's been a wonderful day in the Lord, and we're going to have our closing prayer of benediction in just a moment. But just before we do, I want to remind you, we would love for you to join us. There's a tent around the back corner right here. We have breakfast out there, and it's totally on us. We would love for you to come have a bagel, have some tea, some coffee, and sit around and just enjoy breakfast with us. So that'll be right now between the services. You can follow the ramp down, and it'll take you into the tent. Let's have our closing prayer. God, we thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you love us. God, that you're for us and not against us. God, I pray today that your Holy Spirit would meet us and go with us as we go, Lord. Lord, let none of us walk out the same way we walked in today. But Lord, help us to carry the weight of what you did in this room this morning with us as we go. Bless us and keep us. Shine your face toward us. And Lord, give to us your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, Amen. You may go in peace.